Get over the fact that Anthony did missions at Cedar Point, though. I mean, what a place to do missions. I mean, what if the ride fails? Where are you going to go? No. I don't know. That may be the case. I'm not sure. Luke wrote in the book of Acts that those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. What an amazing day that must have been as well. By this simple sentence, we can glean an important truth from Scripture. Baptism is the entrance into membership in the local church. I believe that this simple statement is true. But there is some question to the biblical validity of local church membership. Some have voiced this. It's a question that really has the right motives, because you want to follow Scripture. We want to follow Scripture, but we don't see an explicit command in Scripture that says you must join a local church, or do we? The sermon is a response to those thoughts. And it's a charge to those who have joined us today that whatever happens, that this matters. That membership here does matter, and it's very important. Not only in our eyes, but in God's eyes as well. Now, there are two main things that I really want to explore through the text today. The first one is that we are all called to local church membership. It is a calling. The second one is that God has a specific purpose for this calling to local church membership. It is important. Turn with me to Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4. That's the passage that Mike read this morning for our scripture verse. And while you're turning there, I just want to mention that a few weeks ago, Jacob Den Hollander preached a message on kind of universal church membership, what makes a Christian. And he highlighted through 1 Corinthians 12 that the church is a people who are joined together as a body. That is a brilliant metaphor for us. We can understand this metaphor because we have bodies. And we really don't want to see our bodies separated in any way. Even the smallest part of our body that can get separated is going to affect you. Say you don't need your pinky or something like that. It's going to hurt if it's separated. God is using this illustration of a body to show us that we are to be united together. Just like you want your body always to be united together. Ephesians chapter 4, the first point that I made a little bit ago was that we are called to local church membership. Listen to this in this context. We're going to start in verse 4 here. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. That's the beginning of it. We are called to local church membership, but Paul doesn't start there. He starts with our status as members of the body of Christ, universally. That's what Jacob was talking about a few weeks back. But then he transitions us into local church membership, and we'll see that in just a moment. See, the sense is that as a believer in Christ, you are invited to be a part of him. That's what the call is. It's an invitation. And it's not one that you can RSVP your regrets to. This is the effectual call that God sends out to his people, and we are drawn to him because of that call. And this call is to be united with the creator of the cosmos in a relationship that is stronger than any family bond that we have here on earth. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Paul's being very specific that this is to each one of us who are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. You see, the baptisms that we saw today are a picture of what God has done for all his people. He has cleansed them from sin. It's a picture because water is a wonderful cleansing agent. And we can see that putting us down into the water and lifting us up is like Christ going into the grave and being resurrected again. These are all pictures of those wonderful things that have happened. And we are linked to the one true God because he called us to himself. But how? How did he call? What did it look like? Look at verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. The one God and Father of all has given his people a gift. That gift, we like to call it the gospel. It's the story of what Christ has done for his people. So in these four verses, Paul is beginning the transition from universal church, all the people that are God's, to a local gathering of those people. There is indeed one body of Christ, and that body is made up of individuals. Jacob went over this in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Again, that body motif being members of this body, like you're an arm or a foot. Prophet Jeremiah said it this way, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." The new covenant is that each believer in Jesus Christ will have the law within them, written on their hearts, individually. And those individuals now are joined together. It's no longer by physical birth that that happens, though. Now it's by faith, by rebirth, spiritual birth. So what is the gospel? That's what Paul's describing here. And it's kind of an odd way to do it, because what he does is he goes through Psalm 68. And there's a section in Psalm 68 that says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. How do you get the gospel out of that? This verse, for a long time, really confused me. I'm like, what is Paul talking about here? Why does he go to this psalm? Seems obscure. But in verse 9, he says, he gives us an interpretation in Scripture. Paul's preaching to us here. He says, he ascended. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He's interpreting the psalm for us. Verse 10, he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He's showing us the gospel. This is a snippet saying Christ came down from heaven. He lived on earth. He lived a perfect life so that we could have his righteousness when he put himself on the cross in our place. And what happened then? The stone was rolled away, and there was no body there. He ascended high above the heavens so that he might fill all things. What are the all things? He paid the price for our sin. All the things that we sin are covered by the blood of Christ on the cross. And we have proof now that he is no longer here on earth, but living and in heaven. That's what Paul's talking about. That is the gospel gleaned from Psalm 68. And the gospel is completely in view when we understand that he ascended back to his place in heaven. In other words, Jesus is right now interceding for us. Any sin that you commit today or tomorrow or in the future, Christ is there saying, I paid the price. They're covered. That's an amazing gospel that we love to hear. That's great news. And we want to share with other people, too. But what does the gospel have to do with being called to a local church? Where is the connection point? It comes next, verse 11. Paul finished the transition from universal church to local church membership here. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. What is the ultimate goal of Jesus Christ? My kids memorized a catechism. It's called the Catechism for Boys and Girls. And the third question in there is, why did God make you in all things? And the answer is, for his own glory. I heard it. I did. Now, here's a logical progression. If God made you in all things for his glory, then God made the church for his glory. And if God made the universal church for his glory, then God made the local church for his glory as well. Now, that is not a leap in logic. Remember that Paul, here, he's writing to a local church. The church in Ephesus was a local church, just as the church in Rome, the church in Jerusalem, the church in Philippi. And at the beginning of chapter 4 in Ephesians, he relates this to a calling. He was exhorting them that through the gospel to walk in a manner worthy of your call. That calling we see in verse 12, for it was for officers to equip the saints. The leadership of the church, that's their charge. Equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's you. You're the saints. And this was all so that we can build up the body together. Now, what is equipping? Equipping is a local task. Building up is a local task. Imagine, if you will, if Gabe Rex decided not to go into work one day, but he had to build a house. Would that work? He decided, I'm not going to go to the job site, but I think I'm going to virtually build this house. It's not going to work. Building is a local activity. I had a weird analogy that I thought of, and I thought about just cutting it out, but I'll put it in. Why did Jesus have to come in the flesh if we don't have to have local contact? He came down to us locally to save us. He had to spill real blood in order for this to happen. Why didn't he invent a first century form of Skype to do it? Where we can get an image of Christ on the screen and say, oh, he came, you know, beep, 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 heaven's calling. It doesn't work that way. He came down to us in the flesh. That's what Paul is driving at. That's the gospel. Is this on? I get louder when I'm here, so is this on too? Okay. I have this one on. Okay, cut that out of the recording. So how do we equip? Saints are called together. Leaders are called to equip. All of us are called to build up. And that's growing in Christ. Distance kills growing. Distance kills relationships. We need close contact. And the local church is where this happens. We are called together to build each other up, to edify one another. Paul prays for this very thing in chapter 3, so turn back there very quickly of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We'll start there. He says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul prays that the Spirit would grant them the strength of power, and that they may have strength to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height. But in verse 18, look at it. Paul inserts a little phrase that I just skipped over. He says, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. He is praying that this local body of believers would be connected by faith to all the believers everywhere. He is making a distinction between the local church and the universal church here. Building up, strengthening, equipping, they all happen locally. Now, you can be edified greatly by recordings of preachers who are miles and miles away. And we can be built up as the body of Christ universally through great teaching. So what's different about the local church? The local church is where we have contact. The local church is where I know where struggles are happening. I don't know what somebody 300 miles away is experiencing, but I can go to somebody's home here, and I can see what's going on in their lives,
and they can tell me about it. It's hard to hug somebody over a text message. It doesn't work real well. Those smiley faces, they're great, but they really don't do it for me. So that's the first point. The calling of the church, local church membership, it is a calling. Second point, God has a specific purpose in calling you to local church membership. We are called to local church membership for His glory, just like the first point. So what's the purpose of the local church? Why did God design us to live in close community together? Look at verse 13. Until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. The local church is the place that God designed for our sanctification. He's building us up together so that we can become more holy like Christ. And the topic of study is the Son of God. So what do we do with this? What's the application for us now? I hope it's clear. What does it mean for us, though, as members of RBC? Today we added 4 members. But they're not only being added to us. We're being added to them as well. Because God gives gifts to His children. And we are going to join together with these 4 new members of our church who were saved by Christ, and 2 of them expressed that faith today in baptism, and they all did in their testimonies. We're joined with them as well. Where are their gifts? How are they going to shape this local body? I can't wait to see how. Anthony, Becca, Isabel, Vika, we are joined with you today as well. We're united in faith in this local expression of God's body. I'll close with that last section of Scripture that we have in this section, verses 14 through 16. It shows that we are up against great odds, but it also shows how we can win against that adversary. The enemy is trying to tear us apart. That's separating the body. God is trying to join us together. Verse 14. The reason that the local church exists is because of this, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's what we're here for. Seek out one another to build each other up in love. Let's pray together. Father God, You are indeed the head of this church. And we seek to honor You and worship You and call to You today so that we can help each other, so that we can equip each other, we can build each other up, and this is why we are called to membership here at this church. So I pray that You would grant us these things and that You would be honored above all for them. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.